verses 8 through 12. How do you fight when the enemy is also family? We all have times, seasons in our families where, the truth told, we wonder whether or not our family members are really against us. And it's kind of puzzling in your spirit, because if we family, we should be on one accord.
Amen.
Especially if we all came from the same parents.
Amen.
How can you be my brother, my sister, same parents, and yet some of the things that you do sometimes make me wonder if you're not worse than my worst enemies?
No, I am worse.
Maybe you don't have issues in your family in which you think like that. So I'll just share with you what Jude was sharing. Now, just a little background on Jude. Jude's name really is Judas.
Mm-hmm.
Not that Judas.
That's right.
This Jude, or Judas, is the half brother of Jesus. He'll address himself a little bit later. He'll say about himself, he'll say a servant. And the reason that he says about himself a servant is because he was in the house with Jesus, but he didn't believe Jesus.
All right now.
So how can I say a brother in Christ when my brother was alive? I rejected my brother, even though we were in the same house. And so what he says about Jesus, he says, I missed the opportunity to be his brother. Now I'll just be a servant. I'll just serve him. You see the conflict that this man is dealing with within himself?
Yes.
All of us have these conflicts within ourselves. You know, some days everything is going okay and you know who you are and all is well. But then there are some other days where you don't even know who you are, let alone what they say about you. And so because you're not sure about you and yourself, you begin to deal with some things, and the challenge or the question becomes, who am I? And what am I really about? You ever question sometimes your own agenda?
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm like this, then why am I doing this?
Right.
If I say this is what I believe, why am I acting like this? See, inside of us, there's a struggle that is always going on. It's good and evil. It's light and it's darkness. It's a desire to do good, but evil is always present. I'm just talking about inside of us.
Uh-huh.
I'm not talking about my conflict with you. I'm just trying to deal with myself. I'm just trying to reach a point where I can like me. Because if I don't like me, I certainly can't love you. And so if you ever start dealing with a person who doesn't love themselves, baby, you better believe they're going to give you hell. They're going to give you hell. Because it's not you, it's them. Therefore, there's nothing you can do to make them like themselves.
Lord have mercy.
In other words, what they do, if you look at verse number 8, Jude says, he calls them in verse number 8, he says, likewise also, these filthy dreamers. Now, what he is talking about is false teachers in the church. And he deals with them and he calls them dreamers. In other words, he says there are some people in church that is out of touch with reality. You ever met someone and you were trying to not even argue with them, you were just trying to hold a conversation with them, and as much information as you gave to them, they were fighting you from somewhere, and you said, but that's not what I said to you. How you got over there on my mama? How you got over there with some money I owe you? That's not the issue right now. And so there you are trying to fight someone, and they disconnected, they dreaming, their mind is somewhere else. And so I'm trying to approach this thing from a logical place. I'm trying to deal with the issues at hand, and you talking about some stuff happened last week, last year, last decade. So how can we ever come to a conclusion if we're not fighting the same battle? And so what Jude is trying to say is that sometimes when you begin to deal with people, they act like dreamers. They have unrealistic expectations. There's nothing worse. When you're dealing with someone and they keep asking you to do this and you say, I can't do that, that's next to impossible. See, if I don't love me and I don't know me, but I'm trying to get you to satisfy me. Every day I change.
All right,
but tell me, yesterday you said you liked this. I changed today. And so today I want it like this, on this platter, at this time. Listen, if I keep changing, you cannot satisfy me. So the safest thing to do is you be you. Whatever you have to change, if you have to change to get somebody to like and accept you, you're in the wrong relationship. You just wasting your time. It's just not gonna happen. You just might as well quit. You dealing with a dreamer. And so when you begin to deal with a dreamer, he says, when you're dealing with the dreamer, there would never be a meeting of the mind. So likewise, he says, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh. And they despise what? In other words, they reject authority. You got some children at home, right? And they say, I don't want to be under the authority that you, I want your breakfast, I want your lunch, I want your money, I want this from you, but I don't want to be under authority. See, when the authority comes, that means that you got to be under submission to the rules of this house. No, I don't care what John is doing down there. As for me and my house, this is what we gonna do. Now, if you want to do what John's parents say, I suggest that you pack your clothes. No, wait a minute. Don't you touch the clothes on that ball there. You just go ahead and leave.
That's right.
So he says, in other words, they are rejecting authority. Now, when you're dealing with someone who doesn't want to be under authority, they're going to fight you on every issue. You tell them the sun is shining, and they'll fight you on that. You tell them that it's dark outside, they'll fight you on that. You tell them to be home at 6, they're going to fight you on that and come at 6:30. So it makes no difference what you say. They just don't want to be under authority.
That's right.
See, in order for you to have authority, you must also be under authority. It trips me out when people say to me, because you're the pastor, things go your way.
Lord, have mercy. No.
If I can't come under the authority of God, as well as under the authority of you, if you are in a position of authority, it looks to me as though I should be able to open my ears, hear what you got to say. Because no one person in the church has all the answers. See, so if collectively, when we all come together, you have some experience and some awareness, and we all come together and we share, we become a better place. So submission requires me and you. You have to come under authority. I have to come under authority. Everything that happens in the church, it's not all right with me, but sometimes that's what God says, and I say, you God?
All right, now.
I don't like that. And he says, I don't care what you like. It seems to me, God, if we change it and do like this, everything will flow much better. And God is saying, but what did I say to you? See, when you come under authority, you have to understand that you may not see what's around the corner, but whomever God has placed over you to cover you, God is giving a little bit more revelation so they can around the corner. So it's important that you come under authority. If you're not under authority, you are wrecked something.
Have mercy.
Because you cannot have two heads and one body. It can't happen. And so somebody has to submit to something. You may not like what you're submitting to, but if you submit and the ship goes astray, God is going to cover you. You just show no disrespect along the way. God is going to take care of you. Well, I can't believe that man told me to do that. If that's your husband, you come under authority. You just love him. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. And so what God is saying is that you have to come under authority. Look at verse number 9. Someone read verse number 9, please.
Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses.
Now wait a minute. Okay. I'm going to ask you to read that again, but let me set this up, okay? Michael is who?
Archangel.
So he's the chief angel, right? Yeah. And so he's having this conversation with the devil. He's having a conversation because he wants to know who gets the body of Moses. Moses is dead. So who gets the body? So the angel, the archangel, goes and Satan is fighting against him and says, I have this body. This is my body. And he is saying, but God sent me to do this. Watch this, because I thought this was just incredible. Notice this. The archangel says, Satan, you're nothing. You're nobody. But I remember the anointing that you once had on your life, so I'm not going to come against you. Isn't that something? Do you see that? This is respect. That's why When David had an opportunity to kill Saul, he says, touch not the anointed. Do that. He's right there. I can kill BJ right there. But he says, I won't, because there's an anointing. And then he says, not just anointing, he says, that's God. You better be careful who you run up against. You better be careful the mouth that you put on things, because that's God's anointing. You may not like the person. They may not even like you. But that's God's anointing. That's God's calling. And so he says, now once upon a time, Satan was over all of the angels. You do know Satan was an angel. And so when Satan fell from heaven, fell from grace, not only did he fall, he took one third of the angels. Get this. An angel disrespect God, and the other angels know him, but yet he still convinced other people to follow him. Do you see that? Now watch this. There was no sin in the world at that time. So you can't say, you know, well, I was pressured into it or anything. They just volunteered and they just went. Now, if Satan is that crafty, don't you know without the anointing, without prayer, he'll tear your tail up? Don't you know that? So he knows what he's doing. He has years of experience. But what Michael is saying here is that I still respect you, because once upon a time you were anointed. But watch what he does. He doesn't touch Satan. He says, I just rebuke thee. When everything is going wrong in your life, if you just rebuke it and put the blood of the Lamb over it, something have to give. Your children won't act right. Rebuke that old bad behavior. Put the blood on it. Something have to give. Your checkbook is acting funny. Put the blood of Jesus on it. Something have to give. Whenever they talk about unemployment, leave the blood of the Lamb on it, and something have to give. You keep fighting, and it's not your battle.
All right, now.
The archangel. He's the fighter. He's the warrior. And he says, you know what? I ain't going to fight with your crazy self. I'm just going to rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And I'm done with it.
Yeah.
What you fighting for? What you fighting for? I got to do this and I got to do that. No, you don't. All you have to do is rebuke it and put the blood on it. Keep reading this, fam.
Yeah. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts.
As what?
As brute beasts.
In other words, what he's saying is that I'm sitting here trying to have a conversation with you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're having a discussion, a disagreement.
But
I keep trying to be logical with you, and you acting like a brute beast. In other words, what he's saying is that the thing with animals is that they have no rationale about the thing. So here you are sitting up and you arguing and you sweating and acting a fool. You ain't convincing me. You crazy for talking to me. So what he says is that you talking to a person who is acting like an animal. In other words, you arguing with a fool.
That's right.
So if you arguing with a fool, what you think will happen? So in other words, what he says is shut up, step back, and if that person continue on that path, he says they'll go straight to self-destruction. In other words, you keep telling somebody something and they're not listening, leave it alone.
Leave it alone.
You keep trying to get them to come under authority, not because you got an ego, but because, child, I love you, I'm older than you, I've been around a little bit longer, I've been around the corner, I'm telling you, you're going to bump your head, I'm trying to warn you, I love you, and you insist on going, go on! Mama, why didn't you tell me? I told you. Daddy, why didn't you tell me? I told you. And so there they are. See, sometimes when you leave people alone, they do it to themselves.
They do.
See, God doesn't always need you to interfere with the process. When you just leave it alone, they'll take their own self out. You ever been fighting with somebody as long as you was fighting, things just would not change. And you say, I'm going to pray about it and leave it alone. When you left it alone, the next day or the next week, that person then hit the wall and you had a right to say, I told you so, but you did not because there's a love of God in your life. You then went back to the person and then you love them back on their feet and then you encourage them because that's the person that you are. Keep reading, Miss Perry.
Lord have mercy, Jesus. Thank you.
In those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran.
Wait a minute. He says, woe unto them. In other words, they're going to take themselves out because they have gone in the way of Cain.
Yes.
Three things I want you to understand about the way of Cain. One, through disobedience, Cain found a way to worship for himself. You remember Cain and Abel? Cain came to God. He says, I don't want to worship like Abel. I want to worship like this. So I'm going to take something jacked up and give it to God. In other words, he had his own way of worshiping. God is a jealous God. You can't worship God how you want to worship God. If God is a spirit and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, you got to come under the submission of the Holy Spirit in order to worship him. So the first thing is through disobedience, he had his own way of worship. Second thing is that he had envy toward others. He hated his brother.
Yes, he did.
Now, Cain and Abel, came to God and gave him a wonderful sacrifice. Cain sound like that. Do you have people in your family always trying to outdo
you? Yes.
And so what he's saying here is that you have some people in your household that envy you.
Yes, Lord.
You think they don't like you. The truth of the matter, they respect you so much They just a clown and don't know how to say it. So they fight you because they really like where you are. They really like the way that you flow. But instead of saying, you know what? I like you. It's something about you. They just reject it. Don't be upset with your family folk when you think that they got game against you. They really saying to you, I like what you're doing. And listen to me. If nobody is pushing against you, nobody's talking about you, it's because you're not doing anything. If everybody liked you, I don't want to be around you. If everybody liked you, something wrong with you. If everybody liked you, everybody have wonderful things to say, it's because you ain't making no noise. You ain't doing nothing in the kingdom of God. But once you start on the battlefield for the Lord, hell gonna come against you. Don't you quit. It's supposed to come against you because Satan is saying, you know what? I got to stop you right here. Because if I can't stop you right here, I'd mess around and allow you to get to your sweet spot, your place of grace and glory. I'm through. He's supposed to stop you. You're supposed to be distracted. They're supposed to lie on you. You're supposed to have sickness. You were supposed to have rejection. All of that is supposed to happen. The third thing about Cain. Is that he had a hatred or a murderous spirit. See, from the beginning, his intent was to kill his brothers. Now, I hate to surprise you, but there's some folk in the church from the get-go. They want to kill you. They may not physically kill you. They're just going to scandalize your name. They're just going to call you everything but a child of God. They're just going to tell all kind of lies on you. And they're going to do it in Jesus' name. Some people just have a hatred spirit. I don't care how nice you are, they just hate you anyway. I don't care if you give them bread, they just hate you anyway. I don't care if you give them $5 after $5, they just hate you anyway. You can't change people.
Amen.
Leave them alone. Leave them alone. That's the spirit of Cain. Keep reading.
When they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam.
Balaam.
For reward.
Balaam. Now watch this. Balaam is one that is always encouraging somebody else to sin. There's some people in your life that is always trying to push you up to do something.
That's right.
Now, the unique thing about Balaam is that not only will he encourage you to sin, but he'll always take the monetary gain from your sin. Everybody don't want to see you buy a house, start a retirement account. Everybody don't want to see you doing good. There's some folk want you to fail, want you to stay where you are because they feel like they have authority over you. They feel like they have a power over you because you down there and they up here. But you know what? Your season is going to come and God will flip the thing. Won't God flip it? God will flip it without your credit. God will flip it without a down payment on a house. God will flip it without you having surgery.
Thank you, Lord.
There's some people in your life. And those people that are in your life always trying to profit from what you are going through. Keep reading, please.
And perished in the gainsaying of Corey.
Corey. Now, your Bible reads Corey. I think it reads Core.
Core.
It's actually in the Greek is Korah. K-O-R-A-H.
Yes.
Now, what Korah did is that he came up against, he wanted to battle against Moses and his brother Aaron. You got that? So he led a revolution against God's men. There's some people in your life. Not only are they coming against you, but they're leading a revolution against you. In other words, they got some other folk with them. Be careful of the first head that pop up, because that's generally not it. It's what's behind the corner. Don't be careful about the one that delivered the information.
information. He just talking or she just talking for them. You know when you have a conversation and they said, they said, well, who is they back there that said? Led a revolution. When they led the revolution, what they encountered is that they understood too late. But if you're fighting against God's anointed or those that God has delegated in that position, you're not fighting against that individual, you're fighting against God. You remember when Saul was on the road to Damascus and he's just gone, and then Jesus says, why do you kick against the pricks? In other words, he says, whatever you do to them, he says, you're doing it to me. When people lie on you, God says, I got to take that personal. Because you are a child of God. I need to talk to some parents. I can do anything to you. Let me touch your child. Or you'll do something. God is saying, touch not my child. I come down and see about my children. God is the same way. When people come against you, God looks down and God says, that's my child. I'm going to see about my child. You can be at work having a wonderful day. Somebody call you and say, your child hurt. I'm stopping here. I'm going to see about my child. Don't you know your Heavenly Father would do the same thing? He would do the same thing.
He takes it personal. You know, if you hit my child, you did that to me. And so he says, now, watch this. Whatever you do to my child, he says, I'm going to do it to you. Now, keep reading. Let me show you something.
These are the spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds that they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withered, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots.
Now listen, I heard what you just said. Go back to verse number 11 again. Read number 11 again.
Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain.
We talked about Cain.
And ran greedily after the error of Balaam.
Talked about Balaam.
For reward, and perished in the gangsaying of Kor.
We talked about that. Now, they did what? Perished. Right? Now, watch Jude. He's writing in the present tense, but he said they perished. What he is saying here is simply this. When someone comes after you, child of God, suddenly God shows up. God moves so fast for you, it's like it already happened. You may not see it in the natural, but that doesn't mean God has not moved for you. See, sometimes it takes the natural a little longer to catch up with the spiritual. You see, when you're going through something and you begin to exercise and step out on faith, it is done through faith in the spiritual. But naturally, it hasn't caught up yet. And so what he's saying is that when you come against God's children, surely God is going to suddenly show up for you. Now, you're dealing with an enemy who thought that he could treat you any kind of way. He could just say anything about you. He thought that he could do whatever he wanted to do. As a matter of fact, he dug a ditch for you. But you didn't fall in the ditch. Look, just a little bit. Look, the reason that you didn't fall in the ditch is because of verse number 24.
All right, man.
Now unto him
that is able to keep me
from what? I almost slipped, but he kept me. They almost got the house, but he kept me. I almost died, but he kept me. Now unto him that is able. Is God able to do something in your life? Now unto him that is able. He's able.
Yes, he is.
He's able.
Yes, he is.
I says he's able.
Yes,
what is it you're worried about? God is able to fix that thing. What is it that's keeping you up? God is able. He says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Not only does he keep you from falling, the Bible says then God takes you. Even though you've been through some stuff, you've been up, down, and to the side. He says, now he's able.
present you.
Yes.
Faultless. Oh, I know about your sin. But let me talk to you about your grace. Oh, I know what you did. But let me talk about forgiveness. He says, now God, he's able to present you faultless. In other words, you've been through so much. And he says, now this is what Jesus does. Jesus take you and say, God, here. This is my brother. He just present you faultless. Well, how can God accept us? How can Jesus even present us faultless? All the stuff we've been through, all the sins in our life. See, when God looks at you, he looks at you through the blood of the Lamb. You got some favorite sunglasses, right? And they make the whole world look better, right? That's what the blood of the Lamb did for you and I. It makes us look a whole lot better to God. But see, what we see in our life, that's not what God is looking at. See, God cannot judge you again because he judged Jesus on the cross. God is not interested in disliking you, taking anything, because when Jesus was on the cross, he says, it is finished. Everything that God hates about sin, he says, wipe it away, because it is finished. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the what? Presence of what?
His glory.
In other words, he says, now when Jesus present you, he says, now you in his presence, his glory. When you walk into the glory of God, he says, then you begin to look like me, act like me, think like me. That's why you as a child of God, you don't have to push folks out of the way. You don't have to lie. You don't have to pray that your supervisor dies so you can get the promotion. Because the Bible says your guilt will make money. Your gift will make room for you. They may not even like you, but they can't stop your gift. They may not want to see you prosper, but they can't stop your gift, because your gift make room for you. God is saying, I'm just opening doors for you. Just because you got a gift on your life, I'm just doing it. So he says, present you faultless. And then he says, present in his glory. Not only are you presenting his glory, he says, then I do it with exceeding joy.
Yes.
It's a pleasure.
Yes.
Isn't that something?
Yes.
You see what God thinks about you? It's a pleasure to bless you. He knows what you did last night. He knows what's on your mind. He says, it's a pleasure. Isn't that something? It's a pleasure to bless you. What do you want? It's a pleasure to give it to you. What do you need from me? It's a pleasure. But in order for him to say it's a pleasure to do it, you must understand about him that he is the only wise God, our Savior. Be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. I don't need you to say amen. The Bible says I'll say amen to it myself. Do you receive that tonight?